Welcome to Connection Point, the podcast of West Kern Christian Center. For more information regarding the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit our website at wkcconnect.org. And now for the message.
You know, you can turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. I didn't know which way I was going to go, and I had something else ready. But like last week, God's kind of redirected my course, at least for the immediate. So we'll look at Mark 6 in just a moment. But as I was praying there, I was reminded of something that Brother Hagin told us. He said, you know, in the early days of his Pentecostal experience, after he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he would start bringing people up in the prayer lines to be healed, he said that oftentimes he'd start to lay hands on someone for healing, and they'd burst out speaking in tongues, only to find out that they had been seeking for years and had never been filled before. And then vice versa, sometimes something else will happen where someone comes up comes up to be filled with the Spirit, and as they're receiving that, they'll be healed. In fact, there was, from what I understand, a traditional belief in the first church, the early church, that any time someone got filled with the Holy Ghost, they would be healed of any sickness or disease they had, and they called that the quickening. Well, that makes sense, because the same Spirit who fills, heals, and the same Spirit who heals, fills, right? So I always like to say you get your one-stop shopping at the foot of the cross. You know, don't stop at one. Go ahead and get your tank topped off and everything and anything you need. Just get it all at once. But we're going to read here in a moment from Mark chapter 6. And I was reminded as I'm meditating on this, because we did a healing service last week. We had an unusual measure. I think just there was an anointing at the very beginning. We could sense it. And I certainly did. And others commented on it as well. And you know, you'd love to replicate that and just do something different every time, you know, and just have God show up in an unusual way. And then, you know, just in different ways in which he shows up. But, you know, you can't do that. And I remember I was thinking back to the commission that God gave me to the healing ministry. Because of all the things, I know that I'm called to be a teacher and a preacher of the gospel. But of all the things God ever specified in my life was the healing ministry. And he told me years ago, right after I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, been spending the afternoon praying in other tongues, or actually the day, praying in tongues on my way from Bakersfield back to Taft, after helping my sister and brother-in-law move from one house to another, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, in the last days, the ministry of divine healing is going to come under tremendous attack. And I've called you to stand in the defense of that ministry, the ministry of divine healing. And I didn't know now, but over the years, I see exactly what God was saying, because I didn't teach Christian apologetics back then. I didn't even really know that much about it. But the word apologia means to speak like a trial lawyer, a defense lawyer, using evidence and testimony to prove your point. And I noticed whenever I preach on healing, I'd be like a lawyer, and I'd be giving biblical evidence, one story after another, one verse after another, building my case to convince the unbeliever that God not only wants to forgive them, but heal them. And I realized that really what God called me to do back then was be an apologist for divine healing. So the two work together really well. But I was thinking about the fact that we need a lot of explanation and understanding today, because there's so much confusion about healing. I run into this all the time, because most Christians in a general way believe in healing. They'll say, Lord, heal, you know, brother, sister, so-and-so. I was talking about this church that we're helping in Bakersfield, and I'll notice in the bulletin it'll say things like, pray for supernatural healing for, and they'll give the name of a member of the church. And there are many churches that will do that, but for many of them, it's not at all a sense of certainty as to whether God's going to come through or not. It's just kind of we're a hoping and a praying kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? There's not a sense of certainty that God's going to move, that God's going to heal. And because of that lack of certainty, they don't really see. It's very hit and miss in the results. And every once in a while, you'll just see the mercy of God extended, and somebody will get healed and they'll rejoice, and then somebody won't, and they'll just say, well, you know, the mysterious hand of God, we don't understand these things. And really, that's a wrong-headed approach when it comes to healing. And what we need to realize, we've said this so many times before, but anytime we get anything good from God, it came to us only one way, and that is through redemption. Because apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, the only thing we deserve is judgment. So if anything good reached us, it reached us because we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And so if it comes by way of redemption, it comes freely as a gift from God that can be appropriated by faith. Now, the issue is that sometimes where healing is concerned, you'll see God move in dramatic ways. Like we said last week, we had a wonderful service. God just moved in a special way. I remember when I went to New England for the very first time, and I was going, the very first place I preached was a little church in Connecticut. Then after that, I went to New Hampshire, and I spoke at a conference. A friend of mine was a keynote speaker, but I was going to be doing a healing meeting in the afternoon. And so I kind of wanted to make sure that I was flowing with what they were accustomed to. And I didn't realize, you know, not everybody there is full gospel. I just assumed they were because they're bringing me and my friend in. We're both full gospel. But they were not. And so when I said, you know, I want to make sure that I flow with you guys. I want to cooperate with how you, you know, like the healing line or whatever. And they looked at me like they didn't know, have a clue what I was talking about. And I said, well, how are you guys used to doing healing ministry? And the guy looked at me and said, brother, I don't know that I've ever heard of any healing ministry before. I thought, wow. Well, the good thing is I can kind of do anything and they won't know whether I'm right or wrong. You know, I'm kind of writing the script here. So, but what was really fascinating is we went in there and with my, you know, rapid fire style, I just picked a text and began to teach the Word of God and minister. And then at the end I had, and I mean, I could see people. There was a musician there, very good musician. He was kind of the entertainment, if you will. And he was the one really the kind of main guy that was there for the conference. He was sitting there spellbound. He was from Canada. His pastor, dad was a pastor in Canada. And he was just listening. Like you could tell he'd never heard this like that before. And so when I got done, I had everybody stand up. And as we lifted our hands to worship God, a lady told me later, she said, when you prayed after your message, she said, I came in here with tremendous back pain. And she said it was like something like electricity, like a honey and electricity struck me on the crown of my head, went down through my body. And when it went through, she said, I was completely and totally healed of that back pain. And what happened was it was a combination of God moving in His mercy and grace and power, but also she had heard the Word. So there was a combination of God's anointing being present and her activating the power of God through her faith. There are times where God will heal apart from people's faith altogether, like at the Pool of Bethesda. Remember the fellow was there for years and years and years, 38 years or something like that. And when Jesus said, will you be made whole? He said, well, you know, I ain't got nobody. And so he's definitely not looking for anything good to happen, right? He's so accustomed to it. He's just there out of principle. That's kind of his church, I guess you could say. And in fact, he's not even close to the water. He's just kind of camped out. He's so used to being in the hospital, that's become lifestyle to him. Jesus just kind of upended his world, said, take up your bed and walk. Fellow probably didn't know what to do with himself for the next, you know, few weeks of his life because he's so used to living like that, you know. And that was just an act of the mercy of God. Then there's other times where there's no special anointing at all, but people, just because they believe, received their blessing, like the centurion, right? Jesus is going to go and minister in a special way. And the centurion sends a delegation of Jews ahead of time and says, you don't even have to come. I understand and recognize your authority if you speak the word only. And Jesus was staggered. He was gobsmacked and said, I haven't heard faith like this in all of the nation of Israel. The covenant people of God don't even have faith like this, you know, uncircumcised, you know, Roman, if you will. And so he said, well, your servant's well. And of course he was. And so healing can come in a myriad of different ways on a lot of different levels. So what we're going to see here is kind of an incident like that in Nazareth where even the master himself struggled to get people well because of the environment. It says, and he went out from there and came to his own country, Mark 6:1, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So what did he do as a result? He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Why? Because he's got to get some faith in these people if they're going to ever get anything from God. Now, I like it when God shows up in power. I've had any number of meetings where God just showed up in an unusual way. And you could say, yeah, there's certainly an element of faith. Maybe the people came expecting. When you're the guest minister, you have a little bit of an advantage. It's like Lester Summerall said, a big shot's a little shot a long, long way away from home. And there's something about it. If you come from somewhere else, people think you've got something nobody else has. I love that. I don't know why it's that way. I don't know why they don't realize their pastor's just anointed, that the Jesus on him is just as good as the Jesus on the traveling guy. But for some reason, there's a heightened level of expectation when you have a meeting like that. And so people will receive things they normally wouldn't receive simply because, if you will, they've been tricked into believing God. And it really is kind of like that. But nevertheless, I've had people introduce me, and I turned around to see who they're talking about, because by the time they got done with all the accolades they gave me, I sounded pretty impressive. And I realized they're talking about me. And I just let the illusion go. I didn't want to break their hearts and tell them, oh, no, guys, it's just me. But because of their heightened expectations, sure enough, they received something tremendous. And I remember, you know, I shared last week, we were having that meeting last week, I talked about the lady in Connecticut. We laid hands on, she fell under the power, completely healed of lupus. I mean, incurable condition. came back from the doctors 2 weeks later, and they said, "We're certifying you lupus free." Had laid hands on that young black man in another town in Connecticut. He was healed of HIV. How does that happen? Well, because God is great and God is able. And it's not hard for God. Cancer is no harder for God than a common cold, right? But oftentimes there's not an environment like that. And there are times where God, I don't know, you know, like I said, sometimes we can say, well, man, the house was filled with expectation and that's why that happened. But there are times just God moves in a sovereign way. And it would really be hard to pinpoint and say, well, that's why. And obviously there are people that carry a certain kind of anointing on their life. One of the most extraordinary anointings on any man that I ever knew was what was on Dr. Ed Dufresne. He was a prophet of God, friend of Brother Hagin's, and I shared the story before, different things. But like I said, my friend Joe Morris worked for him. And Joe had never had any dreams or visions or anything like that until he started working with Ed. Ed saw all sorts of things. I mean, he had seen the Spirit routinely. And after Joe started working with him, because they shared the same office of ministry, both stood in the office of the prophet, that's when Joe would begin to, he had started having visions of angels. He's had any number of open visions of Jesus. But Ed would have things like that happen. And he said they were out there somewhere in the middle of the Midwest, and they're going to be doing this tent meeting. And so Joe said, I was there when they were putting the augers in the ground to hold that tent down. And he said they weren't like little tent stakes. You know, this was a giant tent to hold a huge crowd. He said they had machines, you know, spinning those augers into the ground. So he said, I'd seen that. We came to the meeting that night, and he said, there was just something special there. He said, you could tell. He said, Ed took the platform, and at some point during that, you could just tell there was an unusual anointing that night. And Ed said, here it comes, here it comes. And Joe thought, here comes what, here comes what? And he said, all of a sudden a wind blew through that tent. And he said, those tent augers popped up like little toothpicks in the ground from that wind. And he said, all of a sudden, everybody in the wheelchair section stood up unanimously, just at once. Well, how are you going to explain that? You know, I mean, you could say, well, people came with expectation, but needless to say, that is above and beyond what we normally see, right? But yet, at the same time, it should heighten our expectation. And I think oftentimes what God's trying to do through those special miracles is, again, just reinforce the fact that He is our healer. But Jesus, when He could do no mighty work, what did He do? He always had a fallback plan. He didn't say, oh, I guess it's not God's will today, because it was God's will. You know, it's interesting, and I don't know because I don't speak Spanish, but it makes sense. It's inferred here. The Bible said he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them, but He said He could do no mighty work. I guess from what I understand, the Spanish translation infers that He tried, but He couldn't. Well, that's obviously inferred in the English, right? How would we know that no mighty works happen unless He tried? So I don't know if He stepped out to minister and it just wasn't there because of the unbelief of the crowd, but obviously there was not an environment conducive to those mighty works, right? So what did He do? He went around and began to teach. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now what I do, I found in my ministry is this, is oftentimes when we were on the road and we would have Holy Ghost meetings and we weren't emphasizing healing per se, but anytime the Holy Ghost shows up, what's He going to do? He's got to heal, save, deliver, touch lives, break yokes, right? And so any number of nights we would have God reaching out to people and healing. Anytime I'd have a word of knowledge, it'd be for healing. Oftentimes Rick would, someone would be highlighted to him, he'd call out and God heal them. But there were many a church we would go into and there was no mighty work night one, night two, night three. But again, because we're there as the guests and they built us up, right? The expectation is a little heightened. And because we begin to teach the Word of God, and then what we would do is we'd start sharing stories of what God did in other places. What does that do? It begins to excite their expectation, right? And so all of a sudden you'd feel a change in the environment. Somewhere around night three or four, depending on how long it took, you would all of a sudden start seeing, and it's kind of like, you know, like popcorn in a popcorn, like a microwave. You know, you go for what, about a minute and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, the next minute's exciting, right? Or the last 30 seconds. It's like, pop, 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 pop. And that's what the last two nights of a meeting would be like. And I remember what Brother Hagin said. You know, he said, in my day, talk about when he traveled, he said, oftentimes we wouldn't see the more substantive miracles until week three. And the sad thing is, he's going into Pentecostal churches, but they've lost that heritage of the supernatural and believing God for the miraculous. So he said, it'd take 3 weeks, in other words. And he said, we're doing morning and night. Teaching on faith in the morning, praying for the sick at night, you know, just doing whatever God wants. He said, it'd take 3 weeks to get him to a point of faith where we would see the miraculous happen. And he said, now when I say miraculous, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody got healed of a common cold. Let me give you an example. Brother Hagin went to one particular church, and I'm saying this because, again, I want to excite our expectation. as we have more and more of these healing services, I don't want it to be like 3 years in, we really start to see some stuff, right? We want to see people come to the door and meet God in unusual ways. But he was talking about this one church he went to, and the pastor said, "Brother Hagin, I just trust my niece will get healed." He said, "She's like at the last stages of cancer. She, you know, the doctors had said, you know, we could operate." Well, her mother and grandmother both had cancer. I think it's cancer of the lungs. And they had both had the same thing and died and had the operation. She said, "Well, you know, if I do the operation, I've already seen twice how that goes. So I'd rather just, we're having a meeting coming up. I'd rather just believe God or kind of die." You know, in other words, I'm going to put all my chips in this basket, in other words. So Brother Hagin just, he said, "I have no anointing, no unction, no nothing." He just said, "Well, she will be. Just speaking in faith. You know, we just need to start speaking more faith, you know, sometimes have our expectations set." So this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, "We went week one," and he said, and when he would minister healing, he said, "We would always minister healing on, I think it was Tuesday and Friday." So twice a week, they do a healing service. Now, when he did a healing service, he would share about how the Lord appeared to him in 1950 and gave him a special anointing. Laid the index finger of his right hand in the palm of each of Brother Hagin's hands, and they began to burn like a coal of fire. And he said, "I've given unto you a special anointing to heal the sick." He said, "This is the lowest level in which people can receive their healing." Now, you understand, people can be healed apart from receiving. In other words, what he's saying is, this is the lowest level that someone can participate with their healing, because this is how it worked. He said, "You tell them that I appear to you. You tell them that I put the index finger of my right hand in the palm of each of your hands and began to burn like a coal of fire. You tell them that I've given you a special anointing to heal the sick." And if they believe, that's their part. They don't have to believe necessarily for healing. They just have to believe he's anointed. And so he said, as they would believe that, as he'd tell that story, faith would begin to get excited in the people. God, you know, we got someone here who's specially anointed of God. And that's why I say, people don't need to just trust in God. They need to also trust that whoever's ministering is anointed. That's why Jesus couldn't do anything there, because they despised that ministry. And see, we're ministering with the same anointing he had, right? So people have to believe there's something present, something's going to happen. Their faith has to be excited. So anyway, he said, "I ministered to her that first week, Tuesday and Friday. Nothing happened." Now he said, "I'd feel the anointing, but it didn't necessarily mean she received or was healed. For whatever reason, the connection was not made." He said, "We went into week number two. Tuesday and Friday, laid hands on her in both services. Nothing in particular happened. No better. Comes week three," and Brother Hagin would always stop and say, "I always wondered, what if we hadn't gone the third week?" He said, "Back in those days, if people talked to me about going for a week, I'd walk off while they're talking. Because," he said, "I know it's not going to do any good. We've got to get enough faith in them to generate those." See, I think sometimes we're just not serious enough about wanting God to move, you know, because we got our schedules. But nevertheless, he said that third week, Tuesday night, laid hands on her, nothing. He said, Thursday or Friday night, last opportunity. He said, "I laid hands on her, and when I did, all of a sudden," he said, "I stepped in the spirit. I stepped over into discerning of spirits." And he said, "All of a sudden, I don't see the crowd." He said, "The glory of God rolled in and enveloped everybody. The only person I can see is me and her and a devil hanging on her lung." And he said, "I spoke to that spirit, and I said, 'You're going to have to leave her right now.' And he said, 'I know I will if you tell me to, but I sure don't want to.'" He said, "Well, I'm commanding you to leave her now in the name of Jesus." Now, everybody heard what he said, but didn't hear what the devil said, obviously, because he's over in the spirit. He's not seeing them or hearing them. He's seeing and talking to that devil. Now, sometimes you can see over in the realm of the spirit, and you'll see everything and in the spirit. That would be an open vision. This was more like seeing into the spirit, like more like falling into a trance where your physical senses are suspended. He's only seeing into the realm of the spirit. All he sees is that girl, that devil, and it's him. He said, "The moment that devil left," he said, "both her hands shot in the air and she started speaking in tongues. Never been filled with the spirit before." And of course, she's weak because that cancer has emaciated her body, but she began to put on weight, she began to get strong, and she was completely and totally healed. But that wasn't just a case of healing. That was the operation of discerning of spirits and deliverance, right? Now, in all the years Brother Hagin said he ministered to cancer patients, and she was a cancer patient, he said only two times was it the presence of an evil spirit. Every other time was just a simple case of healing. In other words, it wasn't necessarily a demon directly causing the sickness. Now, Satan's responsible for all sickness, right? Because he's the author of sin. But not necessarily a demon spirit. But what I'm saying is, until we come and generate an environment. Now, we can see, we can teach, we can excite individuals' faith, and we'll have some healings, right? Kind of like Jesus here, he laid his hands on a few sick, or as the Greek says, sickly people. A little bit happened. It wasn't a barn burner, but it was a good meeting. A few people got healed, right? You know, by and large, is that not what we see? We see a few sickly people healed. Somebody's got a headache. One reason is because we don't have the sick among us a lot of times. Right? Now, we have had meetings where really genuinely sick people were present in meetings, and we would hear good reports of God doing some tremendous things. And you've heard me share many stories of that before. And so sometimes it's a lot of elements put together, I guess is what I'm saying. It's not just someone anointed, but it's also the Word. It's an atmosphere of expectancy. And there's something about having special meetings designed for that purpose, you know, and you have a long expectation and build up for it, and something about it, it just generates an excitement in people. And there's something about it, that's when the Word works for you, right, is when you get excited about it. But I think what we need to do, if we're going to experience, and here's the thing that's sad, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm not trying to say this in any way, shape, or form as a criticism. This, as far as I understand it, level of my knowledge, is simply a fact. The majority of full gospel, unless they're teaching what I'm telling you right now, the majority of even full gospel churches I know, they'll pray for the sick in that hit and miss fashion I talked about earlier. Lord, we're going to pray for so-and-so. Lord, we believe it's your will. And they do in a general way. But if you were to ask them, now take me to the Word and show me why you know it's your right to believe God for healing right now. Many of them could not do that. And yet, if we're going to pray in faith, it must be rooted in the truth of God's Word. We must be able to show unequivocally that Jesus provided that for us. Right? And so when we teach, when we do these meetings, and we're going to do more, like I said, on Sunday nights, from at least once a month, I think we'll focus on the power of God, the Holy Ghost healing something. I don't know. We'll just have to see, because from here on out, we're doing Sunday evenings, right? So we're going to do more of these. But at the same time, like I said, I want us to begin to start generating more of that expectation. Because like I said, I've witnessed and seen these things, and I'm sure many of you have too. And we hear great reports of what God's doing so many of the time in other places, right? But there are things we can do to create an environment of expectation so that God moves and that His hand is released to move on our behalf. You know, you've heard me share this before. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit, right? Which implies we can. Now, nobody came into the service tonight saying, you know what, I think I'll go, and I'll just kind of be a wet blanket on everyone's faith. Nobody did that, right? Everyone came expecting and trusting that God would move, right? Everybody wants to see God do something. But at the same time, what am I saying? Well, I like it like this. You've heard me say this before. But to me, faith is like the plumbing through which the power of God flows. And like I said, in my days traveling, I would hate it when I'd go to the shower in the hotel and you'd turn on the water full blast, and they'd have one of those little water conservers. And it was like they were misting a greenhouse. I mean, this little fuzzy, you know, you couldn't even hardly see the stream, you know. And like you got soap in your hair, and you'd be there for 30 minutes. And like I said, no, I want that to pin me to the porcelain. I can always turn it down, but I want the power available, right? And I think sometimes we come with such little expectation that we're misting the atmosphere with faith, right? And so God's trying to get His power through this tiny little restricted plumbing, and it's just not there. That's what you see in Nazareth. That's exactly what we see in Nazareth. Where because of the fact that they despised who came, and in their case they genuinely despised Him, right? This ends badly. They tried to push Him off the brow of a cliff, you might remember, in several instances in Nazareth. So it didn't go well in the hometown, right? But what I'm saying is that they quenched, it wasn't Jesus, right? Jesus leaves here, and in the last chapter, He has a meeting so great that anyone who touched Him, the power of God flowed out of them and healed them all. So it's not Jesus. We know that. But it's the restriction of faith by these people who come with a ho-hum, here we go, one more Sunday at church kind of attitude, right? And so, like I said, we've got to somehow set the bar higher. We've got to set our expectation at a much greater level than what we oftentimes do when we come to church, if we really want to see God move. Now, again, another thing that has a lot to do with it is who's in the crowd. This might shock you, but you know, in the days of the healing revival, you know, back in the 1947 through 1957, 58, there was a healing revival on in America. Most of you are familiar with that. William Branham, Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, about 100 healing evangelists throughout the United States had these tents going crisscrossing the nation, right? And it's interesting because a lot of ministers would, you know, full gospel ministers would partner with these revivals. They'd bring somebody big name to town, and, you know, they'd have these giant tents. In fact, actually, got to the point where there were so many taken away by tornadoes that only Lloyd's of London would even insure the things anymore. But nevertheless, they would have these tents that would literally seat, 20,000, 22,000 people. Can you imagine just what it would take to get a tent like that up, you know? So you got this thing in the middle of a field somewhere, and maybe a dozen churches supporting this thing. So you got dozens of churches being ushers and greeters. I mean, it takes a lot to put one. It's like putting a Billy Graham crusade together almost. So you got something like that going on. And you can imagine the level of excitement, right? People are expecting God to move. But I remember Brother Hagin telling us this. He said the vast majority of people who would get healed in those meetings would be people that were not full gospel. Why? Because God's showing Himself strong as a sign to them, because they don't know the truth. They don't know the word regarding healing. But what's He expecting the full gospel people to do? Believe the word. Stand on the word. Get their healing through the word. And so a lot of times if we want, you know, those signs and want those greater miracles we talk about. Now don't get me wrong, God will heal anybody, especially His children. But what I'm saying is that's a provision for us through redemption. So we need to trust His word and stand on His word. But when it comes to God doing signs and confirming His word, oftentimes that happens among the lost. That's why we hear these tremendous stories. Every time Pastor John from Pakistan sends me a testimony, he'll say, "Brother, we have the blind seeing and the lame walking and the deaf hearing and all." Why? Because God's showing Himself strong as a sign. I remember we had one fellow, Ed Elliott. He was a graduate of the same Bible college I was. He was sharing about one of his meetings in Africa. And so he told everybody, "Tomorrow night we're going to have a healing service. You know, bring anybody that you know that's sick." So one fellow went home and got his brother. Brought his brother to the meeting. Problem was, his brother was dead. He pulled his brother out of the funeral service. Threw him in the back of the pickup, threw a tarp over him at the protests of everybody at the funeral. You can imagine this caused a stir, right? So he drives him to the back end of the field. And you've seen these fields, right? I mean, they've got thousands of people there with powered speakers going all the way down, you know. So he's somewhere in the back with his pickup truck. And when it comes time to pray for the sick, he says, "Lay your hand on the affected part of the body." Well, pretty much any part's going to work, right? So he reaches under the tarp and just grabs hold of his leg, his arm, whatever. And he says, "We're going to pray." And he prays, and all of a sudden that tarp starts to move. And that brother comes out from underneath that tarp, totally raised from the dead by the power of God. They said they went back to the village and nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. You can imagine. He said, "It's funny how these things play out. You know, the blind will see and the lame will walk. We hear about that. They'll go back to the villages and people are afraid of them. Because, you know, they don't know if it's black magic or what. What did it, you know? But God will do some exceptional things, right? But I mean, I look forward to this Alpha group. If we can get some unbelievers in here, who knows what God might do on some of these. Because if we bring them into an environment where we're expecting on their behalf, and oftentimes what will happen is people will come and they'll say, "I don't know what that was, but I sure liked it. I don't know what I felt. I don't know what that was that happened to me. But I just felt like I got something. Or I felt like I came in with something I didn't want and it got broken off and I left it behind." Either way, that's a good thing. Can you say amen? It's the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So I'm just saying all of this to challenge us to set our expectations higher. Amen? You know, like I said, we're not trying to fabricate anything. We're not trying to work something up. We're not trying to make something be there that isn't. But what I am saying is this, is that as we come with expectation in our hearts and create an environment in which God can move. And I'm going to actually talk to friends of mine and I'm going to have some people come and share and maybe even some come share the word, come and share music and we'll do some different things on different nights. Particularly when it comes to these healing services. But I'm just going to believe God to do something different. Again, this is what I was going to say a while ago. I said this about full gospel churches, but I want to say this. I don't know. I'm saying that honestly. I don't know where else they would go in our community to receive that. I just don't know. I don't know. There may be other churches that believe exactly like we do that are expecting God. I just don't know. I really don't. But I do know this. I know there's not enough of them. I'm talking about in the world. There's not enough of them in our community. There's not enough of them in the United States, right? We need the power of God on display in our nation right now. Our nation's hurting. And we need the power of God on display so people can see that He's alive, that He's willing to save, heal, and deliver. Can you say amen? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I just want to spend a little bit of time, an opportunity to minister a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven for a moment. Father, we magnify you. We bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, as I did that, it seemed to me, and I could be wrong, But it seemed to me there's somebody here and you have a pain. See where I'm pointing right here in my body down here, like in this lower part. I don't know what that even is. I'm on my right side, so that could be appendix, it could be intestine, it could be... But if you've had some kind of pain or discomfort in this area of your body, something's wrong there, or you just know from the doctor telling you you've got something wrong there, I want to make sure we pray for that. If that's you, can come on up. But that's one thing the Lord seemed to show to me. Just something in this area of the body down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Someone else, if you've had pain in your shoulders, or I should say it this way, somebody else, you've had pain in your shoulders, and you need, God wants to heal you of that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else, maybe some pressure in the chest, heart symptoms, angina type pain, heart pain kind of thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for these specific things first, because I believe that's what the Lord would have me do. Then we'll just, if you need healing in your body anywhere, we're going to believe God. Hallelujah. For you. Father, in the name of Jesus. What is it? What is it? Your shoulder? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, for ministering. Oh, selemara mangrosh deleke, shoturomo. Thank you, Father. We just release that anointing for that shoulder. Father, for healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for total mobility, freedom, no pain. Thank you, Lord, for restoring, healing, making whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release that thank you for healing. Healing for Kathleen's body. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. The power of God being like a smart bomb going right to that target area, Father God, and ministering healing and making whole. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for healing, restoring, and making whole right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's that anointing. That's that power. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Ooh, Shele Marakisa. It's all over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone else, I mean, I'll take this for myself, but someone else, your hearing or your ears, I don't know whether to say ears or hearing, I usually get body parts, and so I infer sometimes, I don't mean to, but if you've had problems with your hearing or your ears, Father, we speak to that in the name of Jesus. Yeah, if that's you, come on up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is it hearing or just ears? Or? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for healing. Thank you, Father, for healing and total restoration. Healing and total restoration. Yeah, Lord, more. Thank you, Father. More of your power. More of your anointing. Thank you, Lord God. More. Thank you, Father. Ha ha ha. Yeah, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord also seems to say to me in my spirit that there's also a corresponding spiritual thing about the ability to hear His voice. Thank you, Father, for turning up as it were. It will seem as though the volume has been turned up in your ability to even hear His voice. Ha ha. Shelemar mankroste. Ey to paramakiste. Thank you, Father, for that fresh, I don't want to say new, fresh direction. Thank you, Lord, whatever that is. I thank you that you will communicate and speak that to his heart. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the ability to hear clearly, Father God. That's distinction in hearing your voice so clearly. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, worry. Somebody, you were just worried. Right now in the name of Jesus, say, Lord, I cast those cares. God does not want you to be the bearer of worry. It's not his will. So, Lord, I cast that. Just say, Lord, I cast that care on you. I'm not going to worry. Rather, I'm going to put my trust in you. You said casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. So, Father, we thank you. You care for us affectionately and care about us watchfully. So, thank you, Lord God, for ministering to that one that has felt worry. We cast that aside now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No more worry. No more anxiety. Hallelujah. Father, I just see people coming into this place with tremendous needs. And Father, as those needs come, I thank you that there will be a heightened level of expectation in the hearts of people coming to receive a touch from heaven. I thank you, Lord God, for sending them in, Father God, from other places. I even see other churches. But Lord God, I thank you, people who don't even know you. I just ask that you would cause them to come in, Father, compelled by your Spirit. We've seen that before in days gone by, Lord, where people come to church and didn't even know why. And yet they'd receive a touch. Think of that one man who turned into our church and ended up meeting our business administrator and got saved. And he and his family came to our church. And you did such a work in their life. I pray you would do that again, Lord. Just arrest people as even as they walk by. Thank you for a new season in this work. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. A new season, a new time. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to encourage you, be bold to lay your hands on the sick. You pray for the sick. You take the same things we're communicating and sharing with you, and you just communicate it to others and say, you know, God is a healer. He named Himself healer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. Exodus 15:26. And say, we're going to trust for the Lord our healer to show up and do exactly what His name implies. Amen? And heal. That might be enough word right there just to get Him to put a little expectation out there. And sometimes that's all God needs from somebody. Just a little. That's all He needs for salvation, right? Just a little open door. And He'll come in, bring the kingdom with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated for just a moment. You know, I've shared with you before, but Jesus told the disciples, go forth and preach the kingdom. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. And I like the fact that He said, don't just preach it, but give them some kingdom samples. Kind of like the Avon lady. She'd go around and share about Avon, give you a little brochure, but she'd have some samples with her, right? And it was the samples that sold it. So when people come here, they come and they hear about the kingdom, but we don't want to stop there. We want to give some kingdom samples, right? We want them to get healed and touched and leave with peace in their hearts and say, hey, I think I want to go back and sign on the dotted line and get all the kingdom benefits, right? But to do that, they have to give their hearts to Christ to experience all of it. Amen? Well, God is good. Let me just pray for you one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray we would leave here different. Father, we would leave here somehow changed, some adjustment in our heart, some level of expectation heightened, something different in our lives, simply because we chose to get in your presence. Lord, we've been here such a short time, and yet I know you've done things in the hearts of people. Because you are not limited by time. You're not limited by space. You don't need forever and a day to work. You just need people whose hearts are open to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. We're leaving with something in our hearts. We're leaving with the divine deposit of heaven in our hearts. Something fresh, something new, something different about us. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.
We hope today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Again, to find out more about the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit us at wkcconnect.org. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can email us with your comments, questions, and prayer requests at info@wkcconnect.org. We would love to hear from you.